Now, if you'd like to keep your Bibles open in that moment, in that place, let us pray. Almighty God, we want to thank you for your word. But Father, we know we are dependent upon you and your Holy Spirit to make it live in our hearts and our minds. Father, we ask that you may give us ears to hear, minds that are able to understand, and hearts and wills that will respond to your word this morning. In your name and for your glory. Amen. Well, may I also welcome you at my welcome to this morning. It's great to see you here. My name is Mark. I am the pastor at our sister church, St. Richard's, which is down on the sunny side of Crowborough. Now, as I start, may I ask you a question? Imagine for a moment that you are on a journey, on a train, from A to B. Now, what part do we play in that journey? Well, none. We're simply passengers, aren't we? We get in, we sit down, watch the world go by, and hopefully get off at B. Now, thinking of that journey, while you're on the train, what effect does that journey have on us? None. The person that gets on at A is the person that gets off at B, even on southern trains. Now, those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ can live our Christian lives with that view in mind. We rejoice that the Lord Jesus Christ, through him, we've been born again into a living hope, as Peter says in verse 3. It's an all-expenses-paid ticket to eternal life. We rejoice that through Jesus, that we know our destination is true. A place that Peter described in verse 4 as imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. That's kept in heaven for us. Isn't that amazing? We trust that we will be protected by the power of God. It is guaranteed delivery into our eternal home. Verse 5. So we sit back and enjoy the ride. We're on the way to glory with the Spirit of God inside. I nearly sang it to a certain tune. We're on the way to paradise. Here we go. Here we go. But we get so carried away with this that we actually forget that the Christian life is a completion of a process. From the day that we acknowledge and accept Jesus Christ as our King, to the day when our bodies are buried, B, and we go and meet the Lord in person, we are to be radically different. On the way to glory, we are to becoming more like Christ. As Peter put it in verse 2, we are to be sanctified. Sanctified by the Spirit through obedience to Jesus, made holy by his blood. The thing we all want to know is, what does that journey look like? What is our journey to glory going to involve? Now, for the people that Peter is writing to, for them, their journey was to include being arrested, forced from their homes, and sent to live in one of these five Roman colonies. And Peter said, this is no accident. This is actually God's plan for you. And so, as Steve reminded us last week, the trials that we face are all part of God's plan for us. Steve reminded us that trials remind us of our security that we have. They help us recognize the certainty of our future hope. They help us realize the usefulness of hardship. They help us to rejoice in the privilege we have in Christ. Now, if you didn't hear or see that message from Steve last week, do go online, go onto YouTube, search All Saints Crowborough and listen to it. It helps us to keep up pace with Peter's letter because it is so full. So in verses 3 to 12, Peter looks at the events outside our lives and the effect that they have in making us more like Christ. In verses 13 to 21, Peter is changing the perspective. So how do we become more like Christ from the inside? So look at verse 13 and see how on the way to glory, we are to be focused. We are to be clear-minded and future-focused. Therefore, Peter writes, with minds that are alert and sober-minded, fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. Now, we can read that and fully sober and think, oh, I've got that one sorted, I'm not drunk. But in actual fact, Peter doesn't have alcohol in mind here. That phrase that we have, fully sober, literally means not intoxicated with sin. Now, we all know how drink and drugs can cloud our mind. But anything that crowds out Jesus from our minds is sin. Maybe they are inappropriate images, the desires for inappropriate relationships, the obsessions with gaming or our work or our finances or the need to be recognized. I guess each one of us would do well sometime this afternoon just to spend a moment. What are we stuffing in our minds that is crowding out Jesus? And Peter says, don't have crowded minds. We are to have clear minds. We're to be alert. In a sense, that's the mental equivalent of put your shoes on, get your coat, we're off. We are to be ready and prepared for action. So when we are tempted with those adulterous thoughts, when we do need a rest from all those voices in our head and the anxieties of life, when we need a break from our obsessions, fill our thoughts with the glory to be, says Peter. Fill our thoughts with the great undeserved gift that is coming with the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. Glory! Think about what's it going to be like to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that going to be amazing? Think about what it's going to be like in glory, a place of perfection and holiness. Isn't that exciting? The Bible gives us little glimpses of what it'd be like, and multiply that by a billion, and it'd still be better. And remember, of course, we don't deserve any of it, do we? It's a pure gift of grace from our Lord Jesus Christ. On the way to glory, let's be focused. We're also to be, in verse 14, obedient. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like being told that there's ways in my life, there's things that I do in my life that are not right. And yet we all know there are habits and actions that we do that do us harm. And yet we still do them, don't we? And in a way, we're in a time where it's even harder, isn't it? We live at a time where the idea of setting clear boundaries, what we could call absolutes, you know, things like right and wrong, male and female, good and bad, are all to be deleted, relegated to the history books, a time when humanity was less advanced. Yet for those of us who are on the way to glory, we are not to conform to the moral code of our society. We are to obey God's instruction manual. You know, Jesus has written for us in the Bible, hasn't he? Now, it may be hard to do that, but it's not as weird or as strange as we think it might be. Because there is a part of us that hates to be confined by rules. But when you see that sign on the ground that says, keep off the grass, what do? We walk on the grass, don't we? Well, I do, sorry. We had a confession earlier. Yet when we play a game and somebody else cheats, do we like it? No, we actually like rules. There may be a part of us that hates to be confined by boundaries. We want to do whatever we want, whenever we want to, without any consequences. But yet, if someone wrongs us, we want to fight for justice to be done. We like boundaries and absolutes. Jesus made us. Jesus has given us life. Jesus keeps us alive. He is the one that's given us the manual for life. He even came and showed us what it was to live that manual. He gave us an example to live by. True Christianity is the true humanism in that respect. On the way to glory, we are to be clear focused. We are to be obedient, which in verses 15 to 16, we are to also be holy. Now, if we are to be part of the new kingdom that Jesus is creating for his people, a kingdom that Peter described as imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, guess what the people who go inhabit that place need to be like? Would any of us here claim to be likewise, undefiled, perfect, holy? No. And we know as we are, we cannot enter the kingdom that Jesus is creating. You know, imagine having cleaned your kitchen to perfection. There's a bang on the door, and this lot, a bunch of kids, all covered in mud, stand at your door. What are you going to say to them? You can't come in here like that. And yet we expect God to let us into his kingdom like this, looking like this. Doesn't make sense, does it? And the problem's even bigger than that for us, because you could spray them with a hose and get them clean. But we know we can't make ourselves clean, and we try, don't we? Imagine the New Year's resolutions that we make. Anybody still keeping it? Well done if you are. What about the time? We have the phrase, don't we? Turn over a new leaf. Yes, it just doesn't work, does it? We have discovered we can't fix ourselves. So we could imagine, when Jesus returned to his Father, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be where I am. Well, what's the point of that if the very people he wants there are not good enough to be there? But he thought of that, didn't he? And that's the great news of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he cleanses us from all sin. Jesus is the one that makes us holy, so that we are made of what is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Jesus makes us clean so that we can enter his new kingdom. And for any of us who accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our King, say sorry to him for living our lives our own way, committing treason before him, say sorry for the wrong we have done, and commit our lives to living for him, we will be cleansed from our sin. He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1, 9. Through the death of Jesus on the cross, God the Father forgives us of all that we are. And through his life on this earth, the life of Jesus on this earth, God the Father gives us all that we need to be. On the way to glory, we are to be focused. We are to be obedient. We are to be holy. And we're also to be sojourners. Verse 17. Now, what on earth is a sojourner? Well, that word that we have foreigners in verse 17, and also the word we have exiles in verse 1, I think would be better translated sojourner. I know it's an old English word, so let me remind you what it is. A sojourner is someone who is passing through a place. They do not consider themselves as a native of where they live. They do not consider themselves in a permanent home where they live. And while they live there, they do play an active role and benefit the community they are part of. As Christians, Peter is reminding us that we are sojourners in this world. This world is not our final home. Yes, we live here and we seek to benefit the community we are part of. That is right. But our true home is kept in heaven for us. Now, we all laugh at kids, don't we? You know, we give them a beautiful gift, and then what do they end up playing with? The box. But are we any better when we live for this world, live for this life? As Peter says, this is just an empty life being handed down by our ancestors. It's a life that is perishing. We're just playing with the empty box. But the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ is eternal life in his new kingdom. So how can we not be attached to this world? Well, verse 17 gives an idea. It's by fear of our God who we call upon. And verse 21, it says, by faith in the God we have set our hope upon. Now, I don't know whether you've ever come across the phrase itchy feet. Has anybody said of you, oh, you've got itchy feet? That's not because you've got some athlete's foot or something. I'm talking about those who we don't want to settle down, do we? We're always flitting from one to another. In a sense, we are to have itchy feet in this world for the world to come. It will be our fear of God and our faith in God that will keep us having itchy feet. We're not getting too attached to this world. Fear that one day we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and have to give an account for everything we have done. And in faith, our faith keeps our feet itchy because it reminds us that it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that He has paid the price. He has given us a free ticket that we will be in His kingdom forever. A plan that God put in place before the beginning of time. And we can experience it today for ourselves. On the way to glory, we are to be focused, we are to be obedient, we are to be holy, we are to be sojourners. But as we move into verse 22, you may notice that Peter's now changing the perspective. So we started in how our external circumstances make us more like Christ. He's moved how our internal choices make us more like Christ. However, we can all say that we're on the way to glory. We could all say, yeah, I'm going to go to heaven. But how do you know that? What's the truth of that? Well, Peter shows us it will show in our lives in how we relate to other people. Verse 22, the proof is on our love for others. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. I wonder, have you ever heard or read words of someone that have had a really deep impact in your life? Such an impact that their words have kind of stayed with you through your life. For a number of us here, it'd be the words of a parent, isn't it, that has just stuck with us. But even their memory will fade in time. Now, I like looking at pictures that are of Victorian engineering, and often in the Victorian pictures, you always have loads of people. Now, when I look at those pictures, I think, do you know, every person in that picture has died. No one knows their name. No one knows their story. But 2,000 years on, and the name of Jesus is as potent today as it's ever been. More people know him than ever have done before. 2,000 years on, and the words of Jesus are so powerful, so profound, so everlasting, they are still with us every jot and tittle today. And man has tried to destroy it over the years and failed. It never fades. It cannot be destroyed. And when ears are open so they can hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, when our hearts are softened so that we can respond to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, any human, from the greatest to the smallest, the least, will be fundamentally changed for life. And that change will show itself. That change will show itself in how we love one another. A love that Paul says is to be Peter says is a sacrificial love. I wonder, could you look around the people around this room? I wonder if there's anyone in this room for whom you wouldn't do good for. Now think in your mind about people in our streets, our neighbourhoods. Is there any person in the neighbourhood who we wouldn't do good to and for? We could think about work, we could think about college, we could think about school, wherever we are. Do we really love our neighbour? If I was to ask you, do you love God? I'm sure most of us would say, yes, I do love God. But what's the truth of that answer? The truth of that answer will be a sacrificial love for the people that God places into our lives. So Matthew, in his Gospel, chapter 25, 31 to 46, he gives us a picture of the whole of humanity standing in the throne room of God, and each person being judged according to what we have done. Now, what do you think Jesus is going to be looking for in our lives? What do you think? Rhetorical question. hold your answer for a moment and compare with what Matthew recorded. And he says, have you fed the hungry, given a drink to the thirsty, opened your homes to the stranger, given clothes to those who don't have any, cared for the sick, visited those in prison? Have we shown sacrificial love? It's a response to the love that God has shown us, a love that we then show others. The proof of that relationship is the proof in our relationship, what we do for others. It would be shown in what we do for others, and the proof of us being more like Christ will be shown in our dealings with others as we move into chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, whenever you see a therefore, you're asked, what's a therefore, therefore? Instead of the word therefore, look back. It's because of your sincere love for others, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander, and every kind of evil. Slander of every kind. Now, all of these refer to ways in which we deal with other people. So malice, that's seeking opportunities to harm other people. Deceit, that's about exploiting others for our own benefit. Hypocrisy, that's expecting of others more than we expect of ourselves. Envy, that's being happy when something bad happens to someone else, or upset when something good happens to someone else. And slander, that's speaking ill of others. Now, any of us can say that we're on the way to glory, we are being sanctified, but the proof of that will be in what we do for others and how we deal with others. I wonder whether we would do well, again, this afternoon, to think through, how do I deal with people? People at work, people in my family, people in my street. Because these are character traits that we should be removing through our journey to God's kingdom. We're on the way to glory. We are to love one another, and that love is to be shown in what we do and how we deal with each other. You're doing really, really well. 1 Peter is just so full, isn't it? Just one more thing. One more. Let me give you one more. On the way to glory, we are to be growing. Did you notice that our growth in our Lord Jesus Christ, our growth in our spiritual life, this process from A to B is never ending? We are to be craving spiritual food, and we are to be feeding our spiritual growth. Now, I grew up with a song. I don't know whether you've ever heard about it. It just stays with me. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to. Three of you know it. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. As a kid, I learnt it, and it's one I say every day, and it is true. Now, if we were to sum up, what is the purpose of the Christian life? The purpose of the Christian life is to live the whole of our lives for Christ, to his glory and the benefit of others. And we do that as we seek to know God, studying his word and spending time in prayer. And as that relationship grows, as we grow spiritually and eating, taking in spiritual food, that will show itself in the way we live. We will show God. And as our relationship with the Lord grows more and more in our thankfulness to him, we will then want to share God with others. Be knowing God, showing God, and sharing God. Are you on the way to glory? If not, why not? Don't leave it too late. You've got until B, when we are buried. And for some of us, that's going to be closer than others. Don't leave it. A time will come when it's too late, and it will be too late once we are buried. But what are you waiting for? It's a free gift of grace from our Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse us of all sin and to be with him in all eternity. Maybe we are on the way to glory. Then may this be our song, and I'm going to resist singing it. We're on the way to glory with God's Spirit inside. We're on the way to paradise. But we're not just here for the ride. We want to be more like Christ, sanctified. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit. Not only do you make us realize that you are our King, and that we need your forgiveness, and you cause us to cry out to you, Father. But you then place your Spirit upon us. It is that seal, that guarantee of our eternal life. But Father, while we are still on the road to glory, through the Spirit, you help us to say no to what is not right, and help us to live a life that is glorious to you. Father, help us in your name. Amen.